Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative. It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Giustino. With us this week is Saru Jayaraman. She is the president of One Fair Wage. You can find out more at onefairwage.squarespace.com. Just click on state campaigns and pick New York State. Whatever state you're listening in, Saru, welcome to the Capital Connection.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with explaining to our audience what One Fair Wage is. I know you're partnering the NEA and at least one other group to push states and get governors in these states to sign laws to raise the minimum wage. And that has to do with a lot of different things. Explain it to us.
Yeah. So first I want to start with who we are and what we've been fighting for over a decade, and then how it's grown into a broader effort. So we represent 300,000 restaurant and service workers across the country, and 1,000 small business restaurant owners all working together to raise wages in the restaurant industry in particular. The restaurant industry is the largest and fastest growing private sector employer of women, people of color, immigrants, youth. It's the second largest private sector employer nationally, generally of everybody, 13.6 million workers nationally, 700,000 workers in New York State. But it's the absolute lowest paying employer in New York State and around the country, and has been for generations because of a sub-minimum wage for tipped workers that's a direct legacy of slavery, was created after emancipation to allow restaurants to hire newly freed Black women in particular for free, and has persisted in New York and 43 states for 150 years. And it basically forces a workforce that's still to this day overwhelmingly women to put up with the absolute worst economic instability and sexual harassment of any industry because they have to feed their family in tips because they get a sub-minimum wage in New York and 43 states, and they have to basically rely on tips to feed their families. And when you are tipping in New York, your tip is not actually going entirely to the worker. It's being taken by the employer to cover the employer's obligation of a minimum wage. That is not true in California and seven states where everybody's required to be paid a full minimum wage with tips on top and the industry is booming. So we've been trying to get New York and 43 states to follow California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, Minnesota, Montana, and Alaska that require this full fair minimum wage with tips on top for over a decade. And we've had some success. We've won that in Washington, D.C., and Chicago, and even Michigan. New York has, you know, been very hard, but at various points we've been promised this by both Governor Cuomo and Governor Hochul. But it's been a tough fight because of the money, power, and influence of the National Restaurant Association.
Really? And let's just take that a little further, because obviously, to remind listeners, you have a Democratic governor in New York, and you have a Democratic Assembly Speaker and Senate Majority Leader. Yeah. So what would be stopping them? Is it it's still just the lobbying money? Is there anything else they cite on their list that gives them hesitation?
Well, the National Restaurant Association, we call it the other NRA, led by the chains, the IHOPs, the Denny's, the Applebee's, the Olive Gardens. They have been around since 1919 fighting to maintain this sub-minimum wage. And frankly, they are the major opposition to the overall minimum wage going up as well. And they have been the major block for Democrats. They will elevate, you know, they will always put forward the faces and voices of small businesses who they terrify into thinking it's impossible, it can't be done, you'll go out of business. But do you know that California small business restaurants are growing at twice the rate, double the rate of New York small business restaurants, even according to the National Restaurant Association's own data? I mean, Denny's, the CFO of Denny's admitted in 2021 that California Denny's is growing faster than Denny's anywhere else in the country because they pay their people a full minimum wage with tips on top. And according to him, that results in Denny's employees being able to bring their families to eat at Denny's, which makes the guest receipts higher, he said. So look, this is something that's been incredibly challenging, even in blue states, because of the money, power, and influence of the National Restaurant Association. But we're in a moment, and this is where I get to the broader fight that's now erupting. We're in a moment where people across the country, you know, through last year's election and this year's elections, are saying enough is enough. You know, we're just sick of corporations and corporate lobbies dominating our democracy in blue and red states. And we are demanding at this point that we be able to afford the cost of living. And so we have come together with labor and community partners, the National Education Association, which is a teachers union, and Popular Democracy at the national level, and many labor unions and worker organizations in New York, to launch something called Living Wage for All, a national Living Wage for All campaign and coalition, and the same in New York and 9 other states, where we are pushing for a minimum wage, an overall minimum wage for all workers that is closer to the cost of living per the MIT Living Wage Calculator, and getting rid of all sub-minimum wages. There's a sub-minimum wage for tipped workers, which has been really problematic over the last year, because as tipped workers have seen blue states, as you said, like New York, exclude them from minimum wage increases, here comes Donald Trump saying no tax on tips. And it's not that tipped workers think that's the, you know, greatest solution since sliced bread. I mean, 2/3 of tipped workers don't even earn enough in New York to be eligible to pay federal income tax. But they did see this as an offering when Democrats continue to leave them out of minimum wage increases and not offer them anything at all. And so I think we're beginning to see the problem with excluding any population, whether it's tipped workers of a subminimum wage or workers with disabilities who have a subminimum wage in New York or any other population that's excluded. The problem with excluding people is then they are fair game for the right to try to co-opt them or pander to them. And basically, people are saying, you know, we don't care about right and left. We're not worried about that. We're worried about being able to feed our families, whether we are restaurant workers or healthcare workers or domestic workers or retail workers or whatever we, wherever we work. We believe as people in New York State, and frankly, we are finding this is true across the political spectrum among voters. Voters across the political spectrum believe that when you work, you deserve to earn enough to meet the cost of living in New York, feed your family, have a roof over your head, maybe even have enough to take your family to eat out, which would then honestly support the restaurant industry itself.
We're speaking with Saru Jeyaraman, who is the president of One Fair Wage, part of an organization that is leading a national coalition to provide a living wage for all. Saru, I need to go here because that's how my mind works. But, you know, there's a lot of people who refer to the good old days in this country, the 50s, for example, and it's all idealized in many ways, nothing like it. But one thing that was happening in the 50s was a fair and reasonable cost of living increase that kept with the pace of inflation. Isn't this part of that as well, cost of living increases, and that they don't come close to matching the cost of living?
That's absolutely right. Look, since the minimum wage was created in 1938, the first federal minimum wage was created in 1938, there has been a 70% increase in productivity in the United States. And there has meanwhile been a 12% increase in wages, minimum wage, and wages for low-wage workers. So where has the 58% of productivity gone? It's gone to the top. It's gone to the billionaires and the 1%. They have eaten the majority of the gains of productivity in the United States and New York over the last nearly 100 years. So we believe at this point we are so far behind where the minimum wage should be. And that's, you know, we hear sometimes, oh, my God, how could you? Zoran is talking about $30 by 2030. 30 by 30 was on his platform. And that's, you know, a big number. It's, I got to tell you, it's overwhelmingly popular among New Yorkers. But putting that aside, it is actually less than what the current cost of living is. The current cost of living, if you look at the MIT living wage calculator, anywhere in New York, not just New York City, anywhere in New York State, for even if you have only one child and two working adults, you need at least $45 an hour for each, for two working adults with only one child, to cover the basics, food, rent, transportation. $30 is not even enough in New York City for a single person with no children. So you are talking about our numbers, minimum wage, you know, being so far behind. You're talking about 16, 17 being honestly less than half of what people need to survive in New York. So far behind that we are no longer just can we just keep up with inflation? Can we have that 16 or 17 go up with inflation? That's not good enough anymore because it's not keeping up with the cost of living per even economists at MIT. No, we need to raise the minimum wage closer to the cost of living so that people can afford to live and stay in New York. As we all know, this data has been repeated over and over again. People keep talking about, oh no, if you tax the rich, they'll leave. Well, we all know the number one set of people leaving New York are not the rich. They are people who cannot afford to live in New York. They're working people leaving New York State, and those are working people who work in our restaurants and retail environments. It's becoming harder and harder for employers in New York State to keep employees because they cannot find people who can afford to live anywhere near where the jobs are. And so we need to raise the minimum wage closer to the cost of living. After that, it can continue to rise with average wage growth because, again, we are not anywhere near the cost. If we were close to the cost of living, yes, it could continue to rise with the cost of living. But we are so far behind, and it is because the 1% has eaten up so much of the productivity, the overwhelming amount of productivity gains over the last 100 years. They have eaten it up unfairly and taken it from working people.
You can hear it, folks, can't you? The passion of Saru Jeyaraman from One Fair Wage. She's the president. We're talking about raising the living wage for all. There's a coalition, including in New York, led by One Fair Wage, the National Education Association, and others to do just that. Now, in New York, Saru, we have Assembly Bill A1710, and that is, of course, Assemblymember Jessica Gonzalez-Rojas, who's the lead assembly sponsor. In the Senate, it's Senator Jackson. The bill is S5567. I say that to let our audience know, and I'm guessing that one of the secret weapons in your pocket are not only these workers who would like to see their living wage go up, but any New Yorker who wants to seek out a legislator and let them know how they feel.
That's right. Yes, this bill is to get restaurant workers to a full minimum wage with tips on top. New York State, we were very disappointed in 2019 when we had been fighting to end the sub-minimum wage for tipped workers, and Governor Cuomo, in response to pressure from the National Restaurant Association, basically said, okay, yes, you're right. We should give a full minimum wage, let tips be on top of the wage as they were always intended to be, but only for nail salon and car wash workers, not for restaurant workers. So we are trying to establish a full fair wage for all tipped workers. That's the bill that you just mentioned. And now there's a coalition to move additional legislation that would raise the minimum wage overall for all workers closer to the cost of living. So we are doing both. We are raising the minimum wage closer to the cost of living and working to end all sub-minimum wages. First and foremost, as Assemblymember Jessica Gonzalez-Rojas and Senator Jackson are leading with us, that first bill is to end the sub-minimum wage for tipped workers, and then additional legislation to deliver on this affordability promise that Zoran has been running on. We do need to raise the minimum wage closer to the cost of living.
Truth question. Do you think that Senator Andrea Stewart-Cousins, the leader of the Senate, or Carl Hastie, the Speaker of the Assembly, are supportive of these moves? Where are their sentiments at this point, or do you really know?
I mean, we know that they have been supportive over the last several years. Senator Andrea Stewart-Cousins has been a champion of these issues in the past, as has Speaker Hastie. Speaker Hastie, just as you know, just endorsed Zohran and was asked about his platform and said he fully embraces all elements of his platform. And we assume that includes raising the minimum wage closer to the cost of living. Even Governor Hochul has said recently that she understands that the minimum wage does have to go up, that it is far behind where it needs to be. Look, I do think folks are beginning to realize that this is an imperative. This is an imperative. These are, you know, even Carl Hastie said recently, these are incredibly popular issues. They poll incredibly well. They determine elections. But putting that aside, I mean, they are determining also the fate of New Yorkers, whether they can live in the state of New York. And frankly, I have to tell you, whether they can live. Look, during the pandemic, we had the most horrible situation happen with our members, which was that New York State did not recognize tip income towards the calculation of unemployment insurance benefits. So two-thirds of tipped workers in New York State who get that sub-minimum wage, not through any fault of their own, but because that is what New York State has agreed with the Restaurant Association to provide them, a sub-minimum wage where they have to rely on tips to feed their families. Well, New York State didn't recognize tips in the calculation of unemployment insurance, and so two-thirds of these workers were told, you don't earn enough to earn unemployment insurance like all the other workers in New York State. And so we heard from tens of thousands of workers who were denied the state unemployment insurance and felt that they had to go back to work before it was safe. And let me tell you, 12,000 restaurant workers died during the COVID pandemic because they were forced to go back to work because they couldn't get unemployment insurance and they had to go back to work when it was still unsafe. And frankly, as many restaurant workers died as healthcare workers, you know, and the healthcare worker situation was a tragedy, but they did fight for and win hazard pay. Our folks were not, forget hazard pay, they weren't even getting the minimum wage. And so people died. And so people have to understand at this point, especially with food stamps and Medicaid being taken away, right now this is a situation of life or death. The ability to live in New York or not, or move to a different place, or frankly, the ability to live and feed your family. I do believe with food stamps being taken away at the federal level, we are going to see a hunger crisis, the likes of which we are not prepared for in New York State. And one of the best ways Speaker Hastie and Senate Majority Leader Cousins and Governor Hochul can respond to a massive looming hunger crisis is by raising the wages of these workers so they can afford to feed their families.
Yes, Aru Jayaraman, you almost took my question away, which is amidst all this, you have a federal government that's chopping left and right. And in all areas, that can't be good for people who aren't making a living wage.
No. And again, if Democrats want to show that they will deliver for people in a way that, you know, an autocrat will not or is not, they have to actually deliver. Look, our restaurant workers, many of them, they are some of the lowest paid workers in New York. They work multiple jobs. And we hear from them quite often over the last year, you know, you want me to come out on a, you know, my best day where I get the best tips on a Saturday and join a protest to save democracy? I work three jobs. What has democracy done for me lately? Democracy is not working for working people the way that it should have all this time. And so if we want to make the case that democracy is worth saving, as a blue state, if we want to make the case that democracy is worth saving and that people should not be fooled by an autocrat, then we have to show that democracy can deliver. And that means that we have to demonstrate democracy can deliver and provide the means to live in 2026 before November 2026 elections. It is imperative that we show working people that democracy can deliver before another election cycle hands over the keys to the castle to an autocrat. So yes, we are under attack. There is so much going on. We do have to worry about defending our people from Donald Trump. And one of the very best ways to save the country from an autocrat is by Democrats showing that democracy can deliver in a state like New York?
Well, we've come to a question that has some politics involved with it, as most of these issues do. But you just had an event this week to this end, to this living wage end. Maybe talk a little bit about that and about one of the prominent members who showed up, which is the Lieutenant Governor of New York, Antonio Delgado, who's currently now going to run against Governor Hochul. And he seems to be to the left of Governor Hochul. So you can see where on the conservative to progressive scale, this issue certainly would fall in his bailiwick.
Yeah, although I do want to say among working people that there is no right, left, blue or progressive or moderate. It just that doesn't exist. I sat next to a Republican on my travels into the city for yesterday's event. And he asked me what I do. I told him we're leading this campaign. He said, well, I agree with that. I'm totally for that. I mean, most people in New York, moderate, progressive, Republican, Democrat, when you talk to them about the fact that people deserve to earn enough to, you know, cover the cost of living in New York, most people agree. Two Republican state legislators have signed on to the bill, the numbers you read, the bill led by Assemblymember Jessica Gonzalez-Rojas and Senator Jackson. Two Republican legislators have signed on because their constituents agree with us. And so, frankly, you know, we invited Governor Hochul to the event yesterday. We invited everybody. We invited the governor, the lieutenant governor, all of the legislators, all of the city legislators, and we welcomed anybody who wanted to come. And Assemblymember Jessica Gonzalez-Rojas came, Assemblymember Claire Valdez came, and yes, the lieutenant governor came and spoke to the need for a living wage for all, again, as the best way for us to demonstrate that democracy can deliver, and not just as a moral issue, but also as, frankly, the way that business is going to have the people they need to stay in New York and be able to live and work. So we welcome everybody. This is not about moderate progressive as an issue. This is everybody. This has to be everybody. But yes, we were very... we were pleased with those that did show up and hope that Governor Hochul and Speaker Hasty and Senator Stuart Cousins all can also be a part of this effort.
Saru, you are really good at this. Let me just say that because you threaded that needle so perfectly, because I was never suggesting that the people who are impacted by this were thinking politically, only the politicians. And you've got certainly political calculus going on with the governor and the event she shows up, or the lieutenant governor. And certainly on this legislation, which is very specific on tip workers, you could see why many of the Republicans would agree with that. But I talked to a lot of Republicans about the coming cuts from the federal government, and I had one, the minority leader, tell me, oh, no, SNAP's not going to be hurting anybody. They're just removing the people that don't belong there in the first place.
Geez, you know... So many of our members are being taken off Medicaid and food stamps rolls, and in very cruel ways. You know, we've been talking to healthcare providers who are saying, actually, the cuts to Medicaid are to perfectly eligible people, and it is simply to force them to go through the horrific and difficult process of reapplying. They are still eligible. That's the thing people don't know. They didn't actually change the eligibility requirements for most Medicaid recipients. They just kick them off the rolls, so they have to go through the very difficult process of reapplying. So most people are working families who are going to lose, again, food stamps and Medicaid costs. And yes, of course, we need to help them get them re-enrolled. We're helping with that. Others are helping with that. But again, most working people don't actually want to be on food stamps and Medicaid. They want to earn enough to feed their families. They want the dignity of work. They want to be remunerated in a way that reflects their skill, their dignity, their hard work. And none of the wages we've been talking about, you know, all along, 15, 17, 18, no longer. They at one time were very important wages to win, and that's over decade ago, and we're now at a place where we're just so far behind. There's been a historic rise in the cost of living and a historic rise in authoritarianism, and both things call immediately for the wage to be closer to the actual cost of living.
I'm so sorry we have to end it there. That's Saru Jayaraman, president of One Fair Wage. You can find out more about this campaign at onefairwage.squarespace.com. Saru, what a pleasure speaking to you. I hope you'll come back again and talk more on a future Capital Connection.
Happy to do so. Thank you so much.
Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative.